Welcome to the Stellar Effect podcast channel. We are big dreamers who love the idea of bringing heavenly inspiration to this old planet of ours through writing music, telling stories, and creative collaborations. We want to inspire people to pursue their dreams as well as share in the stories of other trailblazers doing the same. So, join us as we share inspiration and practical advice on various topics with guest speakers and the Stellar Effect team. Welcome to the Stellar Effect podcast series. In our studio today, we've got Wajdi Abrahams. He is the CEO of VKC, and he works in the small to medium business enterprise sector and is a mentor on the Raymond Ackerman Academy program on our small business incubator. Welcome, Wajdi. Thank you for joining us.
Carol, thank you very much. It's very exciting to be here.
Very exciting to be here. Would you like to just test if your mic is working?
So one, two. So I do a bit of rapping as well. Yeah, perhaps later.
maybe at the end. Wajdi, it's fantastic to have you here. And Wajdi is someone who I've done a lot of work with, and his passion for entrepreneurship and for South Africa and for seeing businesses grow in this country is truly inspiring. And today we thought we'd get him in to come and tell us a little bit of his own story, as well as giving us some advice as SMEs in South Africa and further afield, probably. So Wajdi, how would you describe yourself?
I don't know. Thank you again for having me, Carol. I think it's we've been referring SMEs to this podcast, mm-hmm. and we've been following it, and I think it's an amazing journey we're starting with Stellar. Mm-hmm. I think I'm passionate about entrepreneurship. I was thinking about it coming through here. How would you mm-hmm. describe yourself? My wife would say I'm a Virgo. I don't know what that means, but now, I think I'm passionate about entrepreneurship. Everything I do in my life, what drives me is about entrepreneurship, be that for myself or for others in the world. I think that perhaps if I could put it in one sentence, it would be that. Mm-hmm. For others, it comes out in different ways. And I'm sure if we speak to some of our clients, they might have some more colorful descriptions. That's what I'm going with.
Something I really appreciate about you is the fact that you, not only are you an excellent businessman and mentor, but you're also a family man. You know, you're married, you've got a child. How have you found sort of the co-development of those things in your life? You know, for sure. Being a dad and a husband, as well as really building a reputable name in the field.
Yeah, I think it's... I think in our game, you never go and say, I want to build my name. It's about me. Mm. You know, in this game, let me just talk about my business side. You need to be of service. Mm. You're not doing it for you. Yes, because it's your passion. It's something you enjoy, something that drives you, but it's not for you. It's, you know, you do it out of a service. I think as I'm growing older, I look very young. I shave so you can't see my gray hairs.
Very true.
But I'm getting older and older. I don't feel it. But I'm a father first. Someone was saying to me, yes, but you're married. And I was saying, of course I'm married. I married an amazing woman. Kay is just every day being with her. I grow more and more. Mm-hmm. But she's an independent individual. Mm-hmm. I'm independent. Together we become interdependent. When I say I'm a father first, well, my son's dependent on me. Mm-hmm. He'll reach a stage, and quickly I must add, where he's not dependent, but he's dependent on me. Mm-hmm. I think as I evolve in my work, and I'm father first, I think of a parent. I want to bring it to business. When we meet with young people in the one project we'll talk about later, but the guest program, when we meet with young people, I ask, have you got kids? Mm-hmm. And it could be very personal for some people, but yeah, because I'm a parent, I want to know if you got kids, then you're a parent. Mm-hmm. It comes with responsibilities.
Absolutely.
You know?
And often a motivator, I think, for people in entrepreneurship.
Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said. The key thing, if it's too early, if it comes too early, then it affects the ability to be, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not a motivator, then it could be a sinker. Mm. Not a sinker, but it's a challenge.
Yeah,
a child, having a child is a challenge today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So definitely I'm a father. I think I'm fortunate to be in business. It's tough. It's, you know, an entrepreneur, people think, wow, it's a wonderful journey.
Sounds glamorous.
Yeah, because they see you at the party and like, hey, dude, you know, and that's perhaps the 1-2%, you know, the other large percentage is where you're really trying to figure out what are you doing, you know, is it the best? Can you be better? What's the market? How that's evolving? So I think a lot of the times you must live entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm definitely a father, but I'm also an entrepreneur. I run my own business. I can do more for family. I definitely can do more for friends. You know what I'm saying? So I think you're a number of different things.
Sort of balance, hey, of
absolutely.
Of dividing your time between so many different things. So Wajdi, where did it all start for you? And what would you say shaped you?
Thanks, Carol. Okay, where did it all start? So I think my formal work, you know, I grew up in the 80s, born in the 70s. It was an interesting time. You know, I'm often sitting looking at somebody across from me and I say, okay, so, you know, what you about? And I don't think you know it off the cuff. I envy those. I want to become a doctor. And she's 8 years old. Guess what? At 30, she's a doctor. You know, come on, I envy them. How did you know it? I think it took me a while. I always knew I like to be of help to people. I grew up, that's part of my values. You know, you're sitting in a room, an elderly person comes in, you get up, you're in the train, you're in the bus, you get up. You know, you see someone carrying heavy stuff, you be of service. In the early 90s, I started to do some voluntary work with street kids specifically. I think an incident happened one night outside a club that, you know, these two youngsters were fighting, with bottlenecks, stabbing each other.
Yeah.
And we had come out of the club. Come on, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're coming out of a club. And without me, when I looked again, I'm standing in between them saying, hey, guys, you know, like what? And I think it affected me to a degree because for the first time I was doing something that wasn't to a benefit of me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, hey, that awareness of other people and their
like,
lives.
Hey,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, why are you doing this? I mean, you know, and I think that was an awareness in me. And I encourage people that when I'm dealing with them now to say, hey, grab onto that awareness. Because we often just would ignore it, grab onto it. That started a journey that saw me volunteer at in UBS with an organization that dealt with street kids. Amazing. I mean, we call them kids, but they street people. They street like entrepreneurs. And a 13-year-old needing to figure out how does he feed himself, where does he sleep, and how does he survive till tomorrow. Guess what? You're an entrepreneur, you know? So that journey then took me into where I went to work for NICRO. In the mid-90s, just before democracy, you know, the advent of democracy, an exciting time in our country. And I think being with NICRO, we dealt with, for those that don't know NICRO, they do crime prevention. And I think what made them very unique was that they dealt with both the offender and the victim.
So powerful. And which back then was, then, I mean, like now, revolutionary.
Can you imagine now? Still now, isn't it? So I was what they call the social development officer, an SDO.
The business official card was their title, and, yes.
I said they bold that on my card, you know what I'm saying? But that took me through and helping guys. So, you know, you dealt with an ex-offender that came out of prison. He didn't want to go back in. It's called recidivism. How do we help them to start something that they can earn? Economic needs, really, you know. How do they participate economically in communities and in society? But it also helped me deal with a woman that was abused. And that, why would she stay in that abusive relationship? But for years. And yes, there's an element of a psychological element to that.
Of course, yeah.
But hey, there's also an economic reality.
Absolutely.
So how did we help them? I think very powerful stuff. And being part of an NGO, you know, you never had enough money. So you're always looking for fundraising and for free courses. And I think that journey, really, that entrepreneurial journey was in me. Unknowingly, but...
Yeah, that was busy shaping kind of
what's the opportunity? Where can we get free training, education, and the International Labour Organization we did some work with. We worked a lot with local government, provincial government, Department of Trade and Industry. then with corporates. So that really shaped and guided me from working with Nikno in terms of just broad community work to more when I started to look at entrepreneurship and really micro-entrepreneurship at then, if one was really, you know, wanted to be quite specific and survivalist. And then through that journey, then we started to then consult to corporates. Corporates through the International Labour Organization, we were training other trainers. I then started to work with one or two corporates that looked at how do they develop small businesses. And that journey over the last, and we're talking from mid-90s to now, saw me really deal with a number of development agencies globally, nationally. I've really been fortunate dealing with government at all three spheres, local, provincial, and national. And then as the market evolved, I realized, hey, universities were going to become key.
Yes.
As they started to drive with community engagement. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's perhaps a lesson for entrepreneurs to read the market.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You need to be sort of 5-10 years ahead of the curve.
Well, you wish you could. Yeah. It's a constant journey, isn't it? But yes, you need to be looking at where and what. So that took me over the last 2 decades possibly now, you know, in entrepreneurship, dealing with different individuals. So people ask what I do. I say, no, I'm an entrepreneur. I help people grow in my business. I help train other people to become better entrepreneurs. So in that short, that's what I, you know, that's perhaps
those
the
are
journey
things that
to
shaped
now.
You. And I think something that comes to mind in hearing this part of your story is the fact that this has been it's been a career worth of development. It hasn't been something that has happened overnight. And I think that's often something that being an entrepreneur, you have these visions and these goals and that kind of thing. And over time, that's how you develop them, you know. And I think sometimes you feel like you should be further along the road, or often people who aren't entrepreneurs who work sort of in, you know, they work in a sort of more regular job. Their measurements are often a lot more measurable, if you want to say it like that. And I think, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur as well, as you know, and that's one of our biggest challenges. How have you sort of managed that mental space, you know, this continually pushing forward? And I mean, you've been doing it for the last 20 years. How have you found yourself being able to do that?
I don't know. I mean, it's a constant journey.
But I'm
getting into gym a bit more. And I go to gym chatting to people. You know, I constantly, I just chat to people. And I'm looking at this one chap, and you can see he's in gym seven days a week. He's in gym, probably twice at that. And I say to him, you know, how's things going? He says, hey, he needs to pick it up a bit. And I'm looking at him thinking,
like,
okay,
really?
But then you realize it's human nature, because I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, okay, dude, you know what? You cut. He's looking at himself and he's thinking, hey, dude, I'm picking up weight. I can be bigger. I can more defined. So that's our journey as well as an entrepreneur. You know, I think for you, I've never arrived. Come on, every day you restart. Hey, yesterday was good. The next day, okay, I need to think about it again. You know, one of our, and you know him as well, one of the entrepreneurs, have said it before. I don't think he's chatted to you on this podcast. Entrepreneurship, it's not a verb. It's a, you know, it's not a noun. It's a verb.
It's a verb, Mr. Webster.
Yeah.
Yes, he
you know,
has
you
been
need to
on
do
you.
It. You know what I'm saying? You need to constantly. And so let me talk about the balance. In The Road Less Traveled, Scott Lee says, he gives you a few different disciplines. He says, The sins of the father, delayed gratification. There's a few others that he lists. But he talks about balance, and he says, balance is the discipline of disciplines.
Wow.
So I speak to people and say, what, you must take a break now. It's the holidays. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I need to get to the office to do all my admin. I'm way behind on my admin. You know? But I guess it's when your passion, your profession, your vocation, when that collides and in a strong way, then it's not work.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm seeing Carol, or I'm chatting to a person, I'm talking a bit about my clients. It's not work. Dude, I'm talking about something I'm passionate about. You know, and then that's when the entrepreneurship kicks through.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So do I strike a balance? I think it's a constant journey.
Yeah.
They say it's constant practice. It's never perfection.
Yeah, that's such a good one to remember. Because I think, you know, that's also the trick, is when you're passionate about something, you want it to be perfect.
Yeah.
So you're constantly moving towards, you know, a goal or something that you want to see. And I think, you know, and this is something we've spoken a lot about, is learning how to celebrate along the way.
Absolutely.
You know, and actually acknowledging what you have done, and at the same time being able to push forward to what you want things to grow. Yeah.
Like say, yay, I've done well. Like yes, pat yourself on the back, isn't it?
Really important.
Yeah,
really,
transformative really stuff.
So what would you say, you know, from your experience from working with entrepreneurs and in the small to medium enterprise sector for so many years, what would you say are some of the common challenges facing SMEs in South Africa? And you know what, again, I think this is probably broader than South Africa.
Yeah. It's global as well, isn't it? But I mean, if we could just bring it to us here, and I mean, you and I have been in this game for a while. So I think we play in the supply space. If we look at entrepreneurship and SMME development, and let's even be a bit more specific, like youth development, you know, youth entrepreneurship, because that's really where our commonality links to a degree in one of the projects we've been involved in. But if you take the challenges, we deal on a supply side. So we're looking at the young person, we're saying, look, you have entrepreneurial skills, tendencies, we can help you craft, develop, refine those. Okay. And there's a lot of challenges. We'll talk about that now. But entrepreneurship and developing entrepreneurship, there's an interesting saying. I think it's a Nigerian saying. I must look it up. It takes a village to raise a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it might change a bit.
Yes.
Okay, so what does it take to develop an entrepreneur?
Mm.
It can't just be the supply side.
Mm-hmm.
The demand side must come and play. And from demand side, I'm talking about corporate, government, you and I. We need to demand the service. So that's one of the, if you just look at a big play, often people say access to market.
Yes, absolutely.
You start in a little business. I mean, we start in your studio here. The floors are amazing. Guess what? It's one of your entrepreneurs you use to say, come do my floor here. Do you know what I'm saying? So one of the biggest challenges is access to market, where the market is saying to them, be that a consumer, another small business, medium-sized business, corporates, and then government. Access to market is a key one. But because it's systemic, what you do on a supply side influences how a demand reacts.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't it? So one of the things that I think you and I do a lot, and I used this word transformative earlier, is about how do you develop as an entrepreneur so that the demand side wants to engage with you?
Yes. You can't just assume that, you know, because you're a small business, because you're a young person, because you're the right demographic, that business is and just going to fall into your lap.
And in South Africa, because I'm young and black. No, that's not going to get you the deal, dude.
Totally.
It gets you in by the door, but you need to be a bit more. There needs to be a bit more value add. So I think in broad terms, and we can go on and on about it, I think access to markets. I think the other thing that we really look at as well from our side, and I mean, you're integrally involved in this, is that, okay, so what are you offering? It must be a value add. So we're a lot about, okay, what value are you proposing? What's the value proposition? And this is a funny, it's, you know, it sounds wonderful, but it's couched in what's the problem and what's the solution? Isn't it? You know, you know, so we had a problem. We wanted people to audio listen to some interesting business insights because people don't have time to read. They want to be driving in their car and listening to something. That's the problem. What's the solution? Hey, Stella's saying, we'll actually give you a podcast. We get to interview you, you know, really cool people. Some folks that are really sounding well.
You know. Yes.
I'm apologizing. Sorry.
No, but, back yourself. That's a good one,
But that's simple. That there's a value proposition that you just put in.
Yes.
And so we work with the individual. One of the biggest challenges, if you look at youth entrepreneurship, do you have that belief in yourself to say, hey, I can do this, man?
Yes. Yes.
The other challenge, perhaps from the supply side, a corporate contracts with you and says, can you do this in 2 weeks? No, we can't.
Then you pull a rabbit out of a hat. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So those would be a few of the challenges, you know, that you have.
That's really, those are all ones that I have totally seen in action as well. And I think that there's been this huge move from government side, you know, in terms of entrepreneurship and youth entrepreneurship and pushing entrepreneurship as an agenda, you know, because of unemployment rates and all of that. And I think it's wonderful. And at the same time, I think that we can't underestimate the need to create spaces where people can access information, where they can access resources, training, where they can, you know, they can be part of programs that actually really help them to develop. Because business is not easy, as you said a little bit earlier.
Can we jump onto that quickly, if I may? So you're saying that, and people say, hey, government must create this. So I said, okay, cool. Government must do that. And I said, okay, cool. Let's look at developed markets.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take just the States, let's take the UK, and let's take perhaps Germany. If you go down and really understand and look at it, it's entrepreneurs, small businesses that drive that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not government. You see, government must create an environment in which we play.
Mm.
That's the key thing. So, for example, and you're right, government's doing some interesting things around saying, this is a program available. There we have agencies that you can go and approach. They're not going to run your business for you. You need to still come with that value proposition saying, problem, solution, this is how I'm going to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm going to do it in a sustainable manner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Guys go and they go with a 2-page business plan that I wouldn't fund. They go to government departments or the bank. The bank says, no, guys, man, you know, it's not good enough.
And often they don't have time to sit with that person and say, this is actually what we're looking for.
Well, that's not their job. They must give out money, isn't it? And, you know, so we've run through these programs with guys and said, look, this is the fundamentals.
Mm.
Perhaps it comes to the other, if I can just segue to the challenges as well as young entrepreneurs have.
Yes.
And the role we play, often, what's the conversation? What's the narrative around their table at dinner time?
Mm.
It's not about business because they're in an environment where the community are workers.
Yes.
And it's nothing wrong with that. Let me state up front here. You know, I'm not saying, oh God, workers, this and that. Mm. No, people earn an honest living. Mm-hmm. I salute them every day, all the time. But they're not entrepreneurs. That youngster sitting there, he's listening to a narrative about how we survive and get through with what we have, this limited amount.
Yes.
Remember, if you're a worker, you get paid 10 grand. 10 grand is what you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Or as an entrepreneur, you're like, I want to earn a bit more this month. I'm going to do A, B, C, and then I'm going to do a bit more, isn't it? You know? So you determine really what you then can earn. It's a different mindset.
Mm.
And so often young people wanting to start entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial activities, being in the right space, being around the right people, you know,
that's
getting
the
narrative
thing.
Is huge. We call it empowerment through association, isn't it? You know?
Yes. Yeah, and I think, you know, those conversations that people are part of is so important. It's so key. You know, if you're the only person who thinks the way that you think and everyone else around you has got more of that survival mentality, it's really tricky to because you're already working through a lot of your own doubts.
Absolutely.
You're already working through a lot of your own, like, is this a real thing? Maybe I should go get a job or, you know, maybe I should go study rather or whatever. And then you're not getting a lot of support maybe from your family or from your community. And I think that is a huge thing that really needs to shift in South Africa.
Yes.
Let me
jump in with that because I should actually do a podcast with you. You've come up with this notion of TEP, Transformative Entrepreneurial Programs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's transformative. Let me link it to another colleague of ours that I also think would be amazing. We must figure out how, but Ross. So Ross is in the States. He's at, I forget the university. But he talks about the horizon. You see your lens. If your lens can only see a certain point, that's the only thing you see.
Yes.
If you only see a hammer, the way you engage with the world is with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly we say, yeah, but there's a range of different other tools you have. So we help people shape the different lenses, extend the horizon in terms of what is possible in their lives. And I think that's an amazing,
that's a beautiful way of thinking about it. Absolutely. So both Wajdi and myself have been involved with the Raymond Ackerman Academy for the last 5 or 6 years. And we run the small business incubator called the Guest Program there, where we work with roughly 25 to 30 entrepreneurs every year. We had the privilege of running the pilot of this program in 2013, and it's been something that's really grown since then. Wajdi, if you think about that, and I know that you also work in SME development outside of the guest program, but what has been one of your biggest highlights in being part of this this program?
Yeah, it's, I looked at that question. I was like,
it's hard to think of one. Yeah,
I think it's, let me just say, I think Raymond Ackerman, in terms of his thinking, what he did and how he developed this program at the Graduate School of Business, UCT's Graduate School of Business, I think the top three in the business schools in Africa. We're one of the only places where you have young people participating actively on this campus.
And they got non-traditional students.
Degrees, as it?
Yes.
And they rock up and they like a gang on that and that and that day. And they there. You know, you go to a department. No, it's an RAA student. It's an alumni that works there. And so perhaps that's been the biggest, if I can just, and it's difficult to say, to get one, but the biggest highlight, you walk around. So there's a place called the MTN Solution Space at the GSB. Amazing. And who runs that place on a day to day? Who opens up when you buzz? It's one of the RAA guests, not guests, perhaps just the RAA alumni. And so perhaps the highlight, and often, you know, we have the two programs. That's perhaps the highlight for me. Seeing really people you've trained. Last year we had one that, and a guest alumni. This is one of the SMEs that have gone through the guest program and then, you know, went on again and continued the business. Came to do the talk at our graduation.
Yes.
And you could hear a pin drop.
Yes. A completely confident businesswoman.
Absolutely.
Whose work is, her furniture and her work is at the airport. She's worked with the GSB. She's worked with some really massive companies. Yeah. And, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, she couldn't stand up in front of a room of people and say what her name was, you know. And I think that those are the sort of the everyday things that we get to see, which is really incredible. So if you were to give some advice, the sort of some last words here, some advice to people that are thinking about entrepreneurship, potentially young people or people that have already started something, what would some of your advice be for them?
Yeah, I think a few things. If you're in it already and there's different phases. So there's what we call startups. You know, I got this idea and I started the business. Don't seek perfection, man. You know, just do, engage, you know. So, I started, I'm really good at baking and everybody says I'm really wonderful and they love my donuts. Okay, just make and engage more with clients. Don't try to figure out and write up a whole 40-page document. There's something called lean startup. You know, just do it. You know, make the donuts, start selling. The market is going to inform you.
Yes.
The closer you can stay to your client and engage in the client, the better. You know, and remember I said earlier, it's about practice, not perfection. Like, you're never going to be perfect for your client, but they'll enjoy that journey as you practice servicing them with that purpose of becoming perfect.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I think know the numbers. Why did you start the business? You want to make money. So understand how you make money. You know, again, it's that conversation we had, Grainer, up around the table. Our culture of money, you never spoke about money. Yes, Dad, what did you do today? Today I dreamt about making 100,000 rand. No, you were, it's not a conversation you had with your dad.
No.
You know what I'm saying? They'd frown upon you and perhaps, you know.
We don't talk about things like that at the dinner table. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we need to start talking about that. You know, it's not and
demystifying, I think, money, wealth.
It doesn't have to be at the expense of somebody else.
Yeah, of course.
So I think stay focused on the client, know the money. You know what I'm saying? Think about how you're going to grow the business. And when I say know your money, if I can come back to that, manage your costs. You know, understand where's your money going to. Those three in terms of how to grow, know the client, managing the costs. I think those three are key because they include so much more. But if you can just focus on those, we in the game of thinking, like think, you know, it's almost like, I'm thinking, but what are you thinking about? The more you think and engage with people, you know, about this, I think that would be, you know, we could go on and on, but that would be really the
those
key parts.
Main.
Yeah.
And just to pick up on one that you haven't mentioned, but I know that you are very strong on, and that's about doing market research and using the internet, reading, really making sure that you understand the space that you're wanting to operate in. And I think just to add that to what you've said, because, you know, very often we assume a lot of things. And I know the Stella Effect, we're going through this at the moment where we're really trying to refine podcasting and understanding like this podcasting thing in our context in South Africa, where it's not massive yet, you know. And and I think that's something that I know I've heard you say to entrepreneurs research. Do you know, like, use the internet. The internet is amazing resource for entrepreneurs, and and finding spaces where if you don't have access at home or whatever, finding spaces where you can access that, and really educating yourself and reading, listening to things, and kind of keeping that learning. You know, learning doesn't just happen at school. It's a really key thing, and actually we have access to more than we realize.
That's a transformative stuff. It sounds like the transformative stuff you're talking about.
No,
I agree with you. Look,
yeah,
we were dealing years ago. We were dealing with some people, and the woman's staff couldn't speak English properly.
Mm.
English was the fourth or fifth language in South Africa, because of Zulu, Tswana, English they were battling with. Then they wanted to raise funds to go do an English course, and engage, and we came to it. Just buy a newspaper, and each one read loud.
Mm.
So when you come across the word debt, you're not saying debit.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's debt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that? A few things there. Read aloud. I must embarrass myself.
Sure.
Because I'm not going to say it right.
Yes.
But then the team is helping you. That's teaching. One of the most powerful ways of teaching, when we each one teach one, isn't it?
Mm.
So I think you're right. We must rethink how we educate ourselves. Mm. You're sitting in the, what are you talking about? You're sitting in the bus for half an hour in traffic. What are you talking about to the person next to you?
Is it like gossip, or is it,
what
are you spending your time on?
There we go. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Really,
and the entrepreneur
really
seeking
stuff.
A bit more. They're wanting to educate from each source. What you said earlier in terms of the internet, it's available to you now. You know, it's really available. I mean, you're blessed. Remember you and I back in the day, we had to walk to a library.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, those extremely heavy encyclopedias that were very outdated even then,
So now it's the, and perhaps the challenge now is there's so much data to use the right.
Yes.
And so when you speak into the client is directing you to a large degree. Because you might think, I think you're like a donut with coconut on. No, they're like a donut with cream on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about you, it's about them. You know what I'm saying? It's a very humbling experience.
Wow.
It's not about you and what you think. Very difficult, because I think it's all about me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually not about me, isn't it?
That's really good. That's really good advice. So, Wajdi, if we want to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
I saw that. I was like, geez, my website. No, what? So let me land on this. The work I do is very personal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I really develop a relationship with someone I'm engaging with. You know what I'm saying? So I do it via email, mail me. Wajdi@vkc, and that's Wajdi at vkc.co.za.
Great.
Or just on my mobile,
082-8749873.
That's 082-8749873. Let's chat, because it's a relationship, you know what I'm saying? So it's not all in sundry, but it's about developing that.
And I guess, figuring out if it's the kind of work that you'd like to take on. But you have been amazing. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me. Really, really cool.
I'm sure we'll have you back in the future.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Carol.
Thanks, Wajdi. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Stella Effect podcast series. For more information, get in touch with us on thestellaeffect.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @The Stella Effect. We would love to hear from you.